There are a lot of interesting statistics that George Barna has compiled recently, along with the American Bible Society, for example, related to how religious certain communities are in America, or how unreligious they are, and also how generous they are or lack thereof. We're going to talk right now with Walker Wildman, who is the Vice President of Operations for the American Family Association, the AFA. In their One News Now, they had a story highlighting these interesting statistics. This is Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. And Walker, welcome back to the program. So great to have you back on.
Yeah, Jerry, thank you for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
Sure. Okay, so there's some interesting statistics here. Let's focus, first of all, on the top markets or cities in America that are Bible friendly, and it looks like most of these are in the Bible Belt. And let's talk about that. What are they?
Yeah, well, this study, this research was done by George Barna's group in conjunction with American Bible Society. The study ran for 10 years, from 2007 to 2017. And what they discovered is various things, and one of the things you're talking about here is what they're calling Bible-minded cities or Bible-friendly cities. And on the list here, the vast majority of these are in the Bible Belt, if you will, in the South. You have cities, Chattanooga, Tennessee tops out at number one, with nearly half of the people in the area being born-again believers. You have Birmingham, Alabama, Lynchburg, Virginia, Shreveport, Louisiana, so on and so forth. So that's not really surprising because, as we know, the South is pretty strong when it comes to born-again believers.
Also in that list, if I could just continue to add, you've got Charlotte, North Carolina, which is interesting because there are a lot of liberals from the North who are starting to, you know, they've discovered North Carolina and they're moving down there. Unfortunately, they're impacting its politics in a negative way, but it's still listed that high with 46%. Then you have Little Rock and Knoxville, Tennessee, and also Greenville, South Carolina. So that's interesting. Just one quick anecdote. We always hear about the Bible Belt, but nobody really ever says, well, you know, where did that Bible Belt come from? And I just want to interject something. I don't even know if I've ever said this on the air. I once had the privilege to speak to a guy named Shelby Foote. Shelby Foote was the great star in Ken Burns' classic movie series about the Civil War. It was a series of documentaries, really well done. Shelby Foote was this Southern gentleman that had written all these huge, thick books about the Civil War, and I had the privilege to talk to him one time on the phone, and I asked him, is there a link between the Bible Belt and the Civil War? And he said, yes. He said, here's the link. He said, in the campfires throughout the South, the night before the major battles, or even, you know, minor battles, most of those men knew that there was a very good chance that they would die. And they wouldn't end up having these revival meetings and, you know, Stonewall Jackson and Robert Dabney. And they would have, you know, Bible promoting, Bible believing, you know, you got to get saved. You got to be born again. You got to be ready to meet Jesus, because tomorrow you might meet Jesus, you know, on the battlefield. And after the war was over, a lot of those survivors came back and it still stuck with them. And then they preached that, you know, at home. And that's why the Bible Belt is the Bible Belt. I mean, that's a fascinating little story, which I've never heard anybody say it before or since, and I just thought that was neat. Okay,
an interesting story on that. My grandfather, Don Wildman, who started American Family Association in 1977, he actually came to know Christ at a Billy Graham crusade.
Wow.
Yeah, and Billy was like in Memphis, Tennessee.
And Billy Graham, of course, was from the South, and so you know, this tradition continues. All right, let's continue. And by the way, the South has had tremendous growth as far as the economy and everything. I remember when I was first starting out in the early 1980s, and my wife were thinking about where to live and so forth. We started in Illinois and eventually worked our way so far south. We're in South Florida. Okay, how about the 10 least Bible-minded cities that they found in their study?
Well, the when it comes to the least Bible-minded cities, these really don't surprise us, those of us who kind of keep up with this kind of news. But most of the cities that are the least Bible-minded, if you will, come from the Northeast. You have Albany, New York. You have Boston, Massachusetts. You have Manchester, New Hampshire, Providence, Rhode Island, Buffalo, New York, Salt Lake City, Utah. That's kind of out there. That's Mormon. More Mormons live over there, but then New York City is also one of the least Bible-minded cities.
Yeah, and San Francisco is also in that mix, which is, again, not surprising. It is surprising in some ways that Boston would be that way, and Providence, only in terms of they were founded by, you know, Puritans. Boston was the city on a hill, for we shall be as a city on a hill. The eyes of all the world shall be upon us. One day it would be great if there was a revival in Boston and they would get back to their Puritan roots. But I'm not holding my breath. Okay, what else? What else? What do we know about donations in these areas, or as far as their statistics?
Yeah, the survey also covered, you know, some of the top cities when it comes to nonprofit and church giving, and this list is actually a little more diverse than some of the others. This list, when it comes to nonprofit giving, this is the top 10 cities in the country where there's a high number of people who give to nonprofits. Starting with Idaho Falls, Idaho, you have Las Vegas, Nevada, which is actually one of the top gambling cities in the country.
Yeah, let me stop you right there. I have a friend that used to work in some sort of sports radio in Las Vegas. He said the actual community of Las Vegas is a lot more church-minded than people realize. And he was actively involved in Christian churches while living in Las Vegas. So, yeah, the gambling obviously is a huge part of it, but it's not the whole picture.
Yeah. Yeah, and then you jump down, you know, Jonesboro, Arkansas comes in at number 5 as the top generous city in the country. Lake Charles, Louisiana, Twin Falls, Idaho. So, you know, that's, and then you have Salisbury, Maryland, so that's up in the Northeast. So the generosity is a little more diverse all across the country.
And also,
I want to remind your listeners that the United States is the most generous by far. The most generous country on the planet. We send forth, I think it's upwards of 80 to 85% of the missionaries, the Christian missionaries, come from the United States. So the U.S. is not only generous domestically, but generous internationally.
All right. Now, the statistics you were just giving about the giving, is that mostly giving to churches, or is that giving to all causes, including Christian causes?
Well, the list I just gave is just generic nonprofit giving, so that could go to any nonprofit, not just churches. It could even go to nonprofits maybe that you and I don't agree with, but it's nonprofit giving. When it comes to church giving, this list is pretty much the same when it comes to specific church giving, top 10 cities. Some of the same cities, some different ones you have compared to the nonprofit giving, is you have Cheyenne, Nebraska. You have Wheeling, West Virginia. Selma, Alabama. Nashville, Tennessee is a top 10 city when it comes to church giving. So the list is a little bit different, but the pretty much the same when it comes to nonprofit / church giving.
Yeah, speaking of generosity and Christianity, I've interviewed a couple times a fellow named Arthur Brooks, who used to be a professor at a college in New York, and he wrote a book called Who Really Cares, and he found that, contrary to what the media might promote, the idea that, you know, Christians are not generous or something like that, he found that the single most important question he could ask to find out how generous somebody was how often do you go to church, or do you go to church, and if so, how often do you go? The more the person went, generally, the more generous they tend to be. And I thought that was very interesting. In fact, he gave a statistic where he compared a religious person versus a secular person. So you got this regular churchgoer versus somebody who, you know, would never darken the door of a church. And he said, I remember he said that the churchgoer gives something like 100 times more, or is 100 times more likely than the secular person. But don't quote me on this, but it's all in the book, Who Really Cares by Arthur Brooks. Okay, what else did this study find? I understand that there's a tally of the 10 most post-Christian cities, and that would mean that they've, you know, what is that, exactly does that mean? Unpack that for us.
Yeah, the when it comes to post-Christian cities, this was also done by George Barna. The post-Christian label is maybe cities that have basically strayed away from their roots. Like you were talking about, some of the founding colonies up in the Northeast. These cities include. Let's see, you have Springfield, Massachusetts, you have Portland, Maine, you have Providence, Rhode Island. See, these are the same cities that we listed earlier that are the least
religious,
least Christian, if you will,
or
the least Bible-believing. Rochester, New York, Albany, New York, Boston, Massachusetts, Burlington, Vermont, Seattle, Washington. So basically a lot of the same cities that go hand-in-hand here when it comes to post-Christian yet also least Bible-believing.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you mention Santa Barbara and also Santa Maria and San Luis Obispo, which are in California? That's also in that category. It's interesting, though, how, for example, Burlington, Vermont is on the list. 59% of the people would be in that post-Christian category. You look at Vermont, which has had Senator Bernie Sanders there as an independent, now running as a Democrat. For years, the man is an out-and-out socialist without apologies. That's his shtick, really. How could people vote for that, you know, without being, you know, so liberal and so forth and not thinking Christianly?
Well, you know, from people I've spoken to who have actually done mission trips in Vermont, everyone that I talk to says that it is a very dark place.
Wow.
It's very beautiful from a geographical and, you know, natural beauty standpoint from the land layout, but when it comes to the spiritual state of Vermont, it's a very dark place. Not many believers, you know, not much really hope there. Everything's, you know, the here and now. So that's pretty, you know, from talking to people who've been there, that's pretty accurate.
When you say missions to Vermont, I mean, that sounds like, you know, normally we'll send missions to Africa or something like that. But missionaries have been sent, Christian missionaries, to Vermont?
Absolutely. Yep. Missionaries. There's domestic missions all across the country to various areas, you know, that need the gospel. So, you know, we think that America is saturated with Christianity and the gospel, but that's not always the case, and so domestic mission work, I would say honestly, disciple making here domestically is equally as important, or if not more important, than internationally, because if we lose the city on a hill that we have here that's sending forth 85% of the world's missionaries and billions in mission monies exporting, leaving the country to go help impoverished countries. If we lose this country to the pagans, then who's going to be the city on the hill?
Mm. Wow, great point. Okay, Walker Weidman, thank you so much for being with us. For more information, people can look up afa.net, correct?
Yes, sir, that's right, afa.net. Appreciate it, Jerry.
Okay, thank you now. Bye-bye.